This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 85.
Hey, this is Gun from Washington, D.C.
This is TechSully heading towards Charlotte, North Carolina.
Awesome. Hey, I want to kick us off talking about Rush Limbaugh, the big voice on the right. Now, why do I want to poo-poo him? No. This is an independent discussion group. We pull from the left, we pull from the right, and we discuss it. And that's why Rush Limbaugh, a lot of people see him as a very divisive character.
I thought we stabbed the left and we stabbed the right.
No, we're on the defense. Remember, we're the middle ground. We're on the defense. We're getting stabbed from both sides.
So, exactly.
My three main sources of input on news stories to kind of gauge how the zeitgeist is moving Republican or Democrat ways, how they're thinking about stuff is Rush Limbaugh for the Republican perspective, and then of course Bill Maher, because I just freaking love him, and then The Daily Show for the Democrat perspective. And I know a lot of people are like, you should listen to NPR, and I would listen to NPR if I were a grown up, but I'm not, so it's Comedy Central for me, sorry. And also, it's a much more honest portrayal of how people feel. You can watch Fox News and not understand how a Republican actually looks at the news or looks at the situations. But if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, it's actually a more honest cut of what Republicans believe and their opinions on things, the uncensored opinions. Which is why Bill Maher and The Daily Show, respectively, are great inputs on what the progressive or liberal mindset is on certain issues. So, my point is, I've been listening to Rush Limbaugh on the subject of Donald Trump. Now, where do you think Rush Limbaugh lies on Donald Trump, Tech?
Having not listened to it at all, I would think he's not a fan, because if you actually subscribe to Republican values, you wouldn't want to be backing somebody who has promised to socialize businesses in America.
Yeah. Well, that's a very educated perspective. A lot of people would think, hey, Trump's a blowhard, Russia's a blowhard, I bet they like each other. You've taken a very educated position and realized that Trump is not a traditional conservative. Rush is more of a traditionalist conservative person, and therefore he probably wouldn't be the biggest fan of Trump. And that is the case, but Rush doesn't want to isolate his listeners who are Trump supporters. Also, he doesn't want to overtly insult Trump, because at this stage in the race, it would be an endorsement for another candidate. Also, a lot of them are his listeners. A lot of the people who like Trump like Rush, which those calls into the show are always horrifying, because you'll have people calling in demanding to know why he's not supporting their candidate and why he's persecuting their candidate, as if it's a road to Damascus situation. You know, why do you persecute me? It's really terrifying listening to cult follower people talk about a guy who's worth $9 billion as if he is just a person beat up on the side of the road. Everyone else is just being mean to him. Ted Cruz is the biggest, scariest monster on the planet to them. which I think is just hilarious to hear them say that.
On Facebook, one of our friends of family posted, and she's in the older demographic in the retirement age, but she posted a impassioned, pleading thing for people to vote for Trump, not Cruz, because of how evil Cruz is and how he's a false Christian. And I'm like, okay, if you ever asked Donald Trump what his favorite book is, he would always say The Art of the Deal. And before you even got the question finished, you'd be like, what's your favorite? And he says, The Art of the Deal. And the person says, steak, you know. It's one of those things where exactly as you're describing, people somehow are, and people on the Republican side often do this, but it's a moral / religious imperative to vote the way you're voting. And amazingly, Ted Cruz is, his father's a minister. He believes, he said many times that God told him to run for president. God also told Rick Perry to run, but that's just because God hates Rick Perry.
let us not question the divine pranks, okay? You know, if God wants to mess around with Rick Perry a little bit, we don't need to question God's logic here. I thought it was a pretty funny prank, and so
it's one of the top three things that got done recently, and I find absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
And that's always driven me bonkers, because you and I have both said that's the thing you want. You want the two strongest candidates going out there. And truthfully, in a perfect system, you'd like the 10 best candidates going out there. Because that's been the problem the last couple of elections, is somebody gets 48% of the vote, wins the election, and then says, clearly I have a mandate from the masses.
Exactly.
Like, no, in a room full of three people, one and a half of them hate you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a
mandate.
Yeah, now there's always a mandate from either God or the people.
How is Rush, how does he secure the bull?
Donald Trump's a phony. And he is, Rush Limbaugh is super careful not to say that outright, even though he does pretty much say that. He's just very careful in how he words it. After Donald Trump said the thing about women with the abortion thing, saying that women should be punished if abortion's illegal, women should be punished. And Rush Limbaugh said, like I said, it took him 5 minutes to say this statement, but what he said was, Donald Trump hangs out with a bunch of liberals in New York, does not really have conservative friends. He has liberals who hate conservatives and think that conservatives talk like that. And he's trying to sound the way his liberal friends describe conservatives. So Rush Limbaugh, in that episode, stated that Donald Trump is doing a liberal's impersonation of a right-wing conservative.
So not only his hair is made out of straw, he's making himself a literal straw man.
Exactly. He is the straw man argument of the Democrat against the Republican.
The only thing I've seen that shoots a hole in that is the celebrities that know him. You've got one on the left, one on the libertarian front on that podcast I mentioned last week, where they're like saying, hey, this is the crap he believes. And he has nobody who tells him, hey, that's a terrible thing to think. You're a horrible person. surrounding yourself with yes men.
Part of it, too, is there is the element of the art of the deal where if he truly does believe that, he believes that there needs to be a wall. So, in the art of the deal, you wouldn't just say, hey, let's talk about putting a wall here. You would start with the most extreme stance. You'd say, there's going to be a 40-foot wall here, and you're going to pay for it. And, of course, that's not going to happen. With the art of the deal, the first crazy thing you say is not going to happen. You say that only to get a deal that will be better than that for the other person, still benefiting you more than them, but they are going to think it's a massive compromise because you started from a ridiculous point. That's one of the concepts that people have pointed out, saying that he doesn't really want to ban all Muslims. He doesn't really want to build the wall that's, you know, going to be this ridiculous thing. It's just the starting point of the negotiation, which I get that, and that's a good excuse analysis, I suppose, somebody starting out from the ultimate excuse.
The reason why the Republicans are worried right now, the Republican Party is worried, is because you cannot win the biggest single identifying block of votes that have been lost by the Republican Party is the Mexican American, South American American votes. They're Catholic on average. They're very conservative. On average, but they have some fiscal liberal leanings. So often they'll vote Republican if they're thinking about being fiscally conservative, morally conservative, but they'll vote Democrat if they're thinking fist bab, send it all backwards, but you know what I'm saying. So by the whole wall rhetoric, and we've talked about this before, illegal immigration is down because our economy took a hit. There was a lot better places to go. Now we're back to just under 5% unemployment in the country. Everybody has a job, pretty much, the number of people who are working is up, which shoots a hole in the people who say, it's just because people couldn't find a job and they gave up. Now, they might be underemployed. You might have somebody who used to be a champion of industry, and now she's a greeter at Walmart, but it's one of those things where the numbers show that more people are working now than were working 5-10 years ago. And so you've got Trump going, we're going to make America great again. I don't know what era he's hearkening back to.
Yeah.
Other than the 80s when he was snorting coke off of strippers.
Yeah, it's one of those big issues. I like the thought of that, of there being a, if you could take his thing that he's running on and then just negate it by saying, hey, everything's pretty decent. And that's true. I like that. I like things being good. I'm an independent, meaning if a Democrat says, hey, look at all the amazing good stuff we've done and it's legit. I like that. I like amazing good stuff. So
violent crime is half what it was in the 80s, 70s and 80s. Rape is down 50% in the last 10 to 20 years. It's a much nicer, cleaner, safer place to be in America. Now, if you go to a Trump rally, or if you It's hilarious. I think I've mentioned it before. Have you seen Jim Baker's infomercials / religious ceremonies on television? He's selling this bucket of slop that'll help you when the Muslims take over the country. It's all fear-based. Everything is about fear and how we're going to be killed. And people will have guest visitors on the show and call in people who are experts who are literally peddling terror that ISIS is going to come here, they're going to take over everything. Everybody's so persecuted, you're not allowed to pray in the streets or in your own home. And then, hey, buy our $100 bucket of cornmeal. You'll be able to ride out the tribulation that's coming. It's all based on fear, based on terror. And the numbers don't back any of what they're saying up. Somebody had a brilliant stat that more people have been married to Kim Kardashian than were killed in the United States by ISIS.
Right. Wait, you said married to Kim Kardashian?
Yeah.
I don't know if I would agree with that stat. We've had quite a few people, probably about a dozen people at least told by people who call themselves ISIS or pledge allegiance to ISIS before doing it. Right at the beginning of the whole ISIS, Michigas, we had a guy who, went into a place that he worked after he got fired for making a big disruption and screaming, ISIS stuff. He left, came back with a weapon and decapitated a woman. And that news story got, pretty widely ignored because it was very grody and grotesque and gruesome, and people were just upset by it, so they didn't talk about it. So I would disagree with that. There's been how many times has she been married? Twice or once?
When the person said that, I think it was before the San Bernardino thing, which I think did ISIS claim responsibility for the San Bernardino one or not?
ISIS is not like that. It's not a terror group. It is a ever-expanding concept. It is a caliphate. So the woman involved in the San Bernardino massacre pledged allegiance to ISIS, pledged allegiance to the caliphate. So yes, it's them.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, we are a crime syndicate. You need to have our approval before you do a thing. It is a religious movement. And their religious movement is you pledge allegiance to our religious movement, and then you go do your things. Which one of the cop killers, I can't remember which one of the cop killers pledged allegiance to ISIS on his page, which was on his Facebook before going out and killing cops. I'm blanking on which one it was. He also had Black Lives Matter stuff on his page, which nobody brings that up. Everybody talks about the two people who got punched at Trump rallies and declares them an American Taliban group, yet completely ignores the many police officers who were gunned down by people posting Black Lives Matter stuff on their social media before doing so, which there's been there was a half dozen cops killed last year by people who are part of the Black Lives Matter caliphate. And yet the news just ignores that. So yeah, part of the issue with not understanding the flow of terror in the United States is the fact that the media ignores that, because when we're looking at news, we want to see news. And if my neighbor is saying, I want to go over there and kill you, over next door and kill you, I don't want the news to filter that and go, well, I don't want you to hate your neighbor. So I'm not going to tell you that your neighbor said he's going to come over and kill you. That's not your job, news. Your job is to tell me the news. That's it. Don't worry about, oh, well, I don't want you to hate somebody. I don't want you to hate your neighbor. The neighbor's trying to kill me. Just tell me the neighbor's trying to kill me. That's it. Just tell me that.
And here's the crazy segment of the podcast. Believe it or not, we have to defend Hillary Clinton from these stupid headlines. Was it Monday or yesterday? There's an interesting. It's got super catchy music. There's a play slash musical called Hamilton, where they rap the actual story of President Hamilton, and they don't base who's in the cast by how close they look to the person in history. They just have people play the roles. There's been a little kerfuffle because the one casting call said no white actors allowed. But from what I've understood, that was because they had kind of filled in who they are. They already had people, like they'll have white people playing the slaves, or they'll have different races playing all the different roles. They're just trying to be as inclusive as possible. So they have Hillary there at the thing, and they have the mayor of New York also there at the Hamilton show. And with one of the actors who actually plays Hamilton in the show, they do a cringeworthy, really stilted, terribly acted skit where the mayor says, I'm now supporting Hillary Clinton. And he even sounded like he had a gun to his head when he said that. And she says, wow, that took you long enough. And he says, well, I was on CP time. And the African-American guy who plays the Hamilton lead says, hey, I find that offensive. Like, you know, literally that dryly delivered. This guy is a professional actor. He could have been, hey, I find that offensive, really emoted. But, you know, he was making it clear. This is all scripted. Hey, I find that offensive. And then the mayor says, you know me, I meant conservative, careful politician time. And the absolute, and so the headlines the next day read, Hillary Clinton involved in racist joke. I'm like, okay. Hey, goodness. Okay, the mayor who delivered the line, his wife is black. The skit was written by a black man. This is not even a tempest in a teapot. This is a tempest 1,400 miles away, and you're staring at a teapot.
Yeah. It's one of those things where if a joke enlightens you on how they're thinking, like, you can tell, like, when you're watching The Daily Show, and the jokes are angled from the perspective that all Republicans are all evil racists, and meanwhile you have a black comedian telling one of the Democrat co-hosts on the show, telling him, oh, well, you're just as good as a Trump supporter. You're white. Get up here. Jokes like that, that actually is racist, because it's coming from a perspective of we're clumping all people of one race into a certain concept, saying all white people are racist. Even if you're a Democrat and you're a white person, if I'm black, I can look at you and say, you must be racist. You're going to be the Trump supporter in all of our sketches, which that was on the Daily Show just the other day. So I'm glad to say the white actor who is not pleased to be reading a Trump line storms off the stage in a huff, saying, I'm not going to read this stuff. But that's actual racism, because it shows a tone of racism and racialism. If you are joking around with your friends and your friend tells you to say something and is it that and the other, that situation sounds like more like a more organic, these are all friends of hers. It's a friendly situation. They're not in a racially charged situation. No, at no point is anyone really categorizing or dehumanizing an entire population. Also, I would like to point out that the CP time joke is also is JST and CST, Cherokee Standard Time, JST, Jewish Standard Time. I have heard that same joke for, I think, at least five different ethnicities in my life. Wherever you go,
back,
somebody will make that joke.
Way back in the 1890s to the early 1900s, it was Irish time.
Yeah. Well, if you know your history, like you think you know your history. That was a line from Quiet Man where they talk about how the train is always late. What was the line from that? It was like the 11 o'clock train comes sharply at 2:30 every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, the,
train.
So yeah, we're not defending Hillary Clinton in any legitimate way. We're just pointing out that we're not going to go after somebody for a joke they make amongst friends. Unless the joke actually shows a tone of racism or a tone of bigotry, that doesn't appear to be the case at all with this.
It reminds me of years ago when the guy who played Sam on Cheers, I can't remember his name. I should be able to remember his name. I can't remember his name. Anyway, he was married to Whoopi Goldberg, and she wrote a bunch of jokes for him at this roast. So, and she painted him in blackface for the roast. And everybody's like, my goodness, he's in blackface. I'm like, the person who painted him black is blacker than, it's like, oh my goodness. He's literally the only person who should have been able to get away with it, even he couldn't. So.
Well, speaking of blackface, do you see the picture of Hillary Clinton in blackface that's going around the internet?
Oh yeah, goodness, I know you chronically battle Snopes. You got to remember, Snopes is writing for people with an average grade education of about 7th to 8th grade who tend older, older.
My point was, and we have to fill the listeners in here. My point was, Snopes didn't need to say that that's not really endorsed by Hillary. No one going, oh my gosh, it's Hillary in blackface. No one saying, oh my gosh, it's definitely, I firmly and totally believe that it's Hillary Clinton in blackface. No one said, oh, and look, it's endorsed by Hillary Clinton for president 2006.
Yeah, so finish what I was saying about Snopes. You have to post the picture that I sent you with the actual quote from Snopes where the picture that kind of sort of looks like Bill Clinton and there's a woman who's kind of about the same height as Hillary with her entire face covered in really offensive blackface has the Hillary Clinton 2016 logo on it, which... if you think that is Bill and Hillary Clinton, you know that that wouldn't be endorsed by a presidential candidate. No one's that stupid. But apparently, and this is what bothered Tech so much. I pointed out that the author of the article is actually someone who's that stupid who would see a logo and go, "Well, that looks official. That's not right. Is that official?" Do some fact checking. No, that didn't show up on their website. He mentioned checking the website to say whether or not that was officially from them. Like, no one would think that. The only question is whether or not that's really Bill and Hillary. That's the only question. The fact that he went on to say that's not an official endorsement in the corner there makes me think, holy crap, that entire last paragraph was just, I didn't really understand hyperbole or jokes at all. I am really not fun to be around at a party. That's all.
Okay. Interestingly, the two defense notes, interestingly, they have to do this. The whole reason they have to have those articles is people forward them as if they are real. A famous example was, and my grandfather sent this out twice, the time that Obama and Michelle both had their left hand on their heart during the Pledge of Allegiance in a picture, and how they're clearly showing no respect for America. I'm like, okay, if you look at the back of the picture, the Marines in the back of the picture also put their uniforms on backwards. Because they don't respect America when they're around the president. Or some idiot flipped the picture in Photoshop right. in 2 seconds. But my grandfather, who was a smart person, forwarded that on with rage in his heart that the president would disrespect our country so much. And so Snopes had to write an article going, no, it's really not.
Okay, I understand that, and that's my appreciation for what they do. But in this situation, no one is forwarding that picture around going, why would the Hillary campaign put this out? That's not something they need to even bring up. Of course the Hillary campaign didn't bring that out. No one thought the Hillary campaign brought that out. And for him to say, and as I quoted to you in the article, where the guy says, even though it looks official, I'm like, it doesn't look official. No one but somebody at Snopes would think that looks official. That is not the thing that people are spreading around. People were not spreading around that Hillary Clinton herself approved this photo. That's not the thing that needs to be disproved. What needed to be disproved was Hillary Clinton being in blackface. The whole rest of it didn't make any sense.
I happen to work with and know and have a support group I go to of parents of autistic children, and I work with many autistic children. I've worked with in the past many autistic children who transferred into the working IT world. All of this smacks of either writing for people who cannot literally, physically, it is against their ability. It's like, you know, they cannot slam dunk a basket. Physically, they're incapable of doing that, and they also literally or physically, they do not have the wiring in the brain to be able to understand a joke. And so, the article is either written by and or for people who fit that category.
That I would definitely agree with. I think that's something we both can agree on. Back to Rush Limbaugh. I've been compiling some of the statements or just that Rush Limbaugh has, because like I said, in order to try to not offend Trumpers, as he calls them, he will spend 5 minutes making one point about Donald Trump. And the point that he makes, when you really boil it down, is not a great one. And one of the things that he's whenever somebody actually calls up and puts his feet to the fire and tries to get him to say something, a lot of times he'll just sort of go back and defend something else that he said. And another thing, if you ever listen to a show, you need to keep in mind one crazy fact that will make, whenever you hear him talking to someone, somebody will call in and be like, Rush Limbaugh, A, B, and C. I can't believe you said A, B, and C. Blah, 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 blah. And he'll just pause and go, okay. All right, so you're trying to say that I'm for A, B, and C? I don't. And the reason why there's that pause and that him not quite understanding what they're yelling at him for is because he has a typist who types up what people are yelling at him. Because he's deaf.
I remember his hearing is now. I mean, what's his hearing left? Is he down to hearing aids, or is he completely?
He has a cochlear implant, but that still doesn't work. It doesn't really work for people over the phone. He can hear when Bose Nerdly, his call screener and producer yells at him, he can hear them through the earpiece, but whenever somebody's on the phone, it's sort of hard to hear people on the phone. You know, that's a lot of people have trouble understanding us apart, because our voices are similar and we're doing the wirecast over the phone. Imagine if you had a robo ear and were technically deaf. That's Rush Limbaugh. That's why he has so much trouble understanding when people are yelling at him. And it's kind of fun to hear the way he works around that, and it's really fascinating. So I have a lot of respect for him for being somebody who technically is somebody with a disability. But you would never think that. No one would ever be like, oh, Rush Limbaugh is somebody who overcomes adversity. Everyone's like, oh, Rush Limbaugh's a big bully. But if you actually know that about him, and it's like this guy has the number one radio talk show in the world, and he is deaf. It's like Beethoven, you know.
Mike McConnell, not Mitch McConnell, but Mike McConnell was talking about how impressive it was when he was struggling with addictions to painkillers. And he's like, this guy's on air 4 hours a day, hopped up on goofballs, and still making cogent arguments.
All right, enough.
Even if you don't agree with him, the arguments would be cogent, so yeah.
All right, enough praising Rush Limbaugh. We are losing all of our... all of our independent cred if we like Rush Limbaugh too much. But what I'm trying to say is when callers call in and say, hey, I'm a pro-Cruz person and you are not being fair to Cruz by always defending Donald Trump. And he'll say, I don't defend Donald Trump. I blah, 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 blah. Well, then a Trump person will call in and be like, yeah, why would you stab on the thigh in the back, you Judas? He's trying to play both sides and kind of messing up with a lot of people. The thing that he did get nailed down on was somebody saying, why did you call Cruz a true conservative, but you say you don't endorse a candidate? How can you say you're saying Cruz is the true conservative in the race, and you don't call that an endorsement? And he then stated, Cruz is the true conservative, but Trump is not running as a conservative, he's running as a populist. So,
he's using a ninth grade word, which is going to shoot past 3 years of education that most Trump supporters don't have.
Right. So that's what he was hoping for, and I think that's also why he filibusters his own point whenever he's trying to basically say Cruz is the real conservative, Trump is kind of in it for himself, and and kind of fake. And the biggest thing, the most damning one, and I really need to find the actual transcript. I've yet to find the actual transcript to this episode, but it was right after, it was the day after Trump said the thing about women being punished for abortion. And right after that, he goes on the air and explains that Trump doesn't have conservative friends. He has liberal friends, and his liberal friends talk about conservatives like people who would want women to be blamed for abortion and punished for abortion. And that's what he tried to sound like. He tried to sound like what his liberal friends think Republicans sound like, which basically means he's putting on a Republican mask and going, look at me, I'm like you, I'm just like you, you're done. That's what Trump is doing to the Republicans. He's going, he's putting on the most ridiculous stereotypical mask of a Republican and then dancing around going, look at me, I'm one of you guys, which that should be offensive to most Republicans, yeah. But like I said, Limbaugh was so careful about how he said it, I don't even think most people understood it.
There's something I've learned in working with CEOs and the higher up the company you're dealing with somebody, the less information you're able to hand them because they're being hit by so much information. So let me, by the way, this is Tech talking since nobody can tell us apart. So years ago, I needed a $30,000 device. I needed the president to approve a $30,000 device and a $15,000 device that worked with it. Now, for some companies, that's like in the petty cash drawer, but for the place I was working at the time, that was a massive outlay of cash. But it would replace having 9 different failing systems anyway. So I needed $45,000 worth of equipment. So I sent her this well-thought-out, well-reasoned thing saying, hey, here's what I need. All of the CEO sent to her saying, here's all the things I need. Here's why I need it. Here's what we'll do with it. She skimmed it and said, okay, I approve the, and then named the $30,000 device. Now, it was worthless without the $15,000 device. So I had to send a whole other thing going, I also need this. And she, at first, declined the second device, even on the second email. So I learned what I need to do is say, and so then 3 months later, as it's coming up, after I sent just a 2-line thing going, I need this, and I put both devices on the same line with a thing saying, it will make everything work.
Right.
A one sentence email, and she goes, oh yeah, sure. And that's where right. I learned that the higher up the company you go, the less words you can throw at somebody, and you got to make it as simple as possible. The inverse is true when you're trying to bury blame. So if something screws up, it's best to send a 3-page apology because everybody's going to go, oh, clearly there's something behind why this happened. This all looks fantastic. Thank you for your apology.
Well, did I talk about Trump and the Colorado primary? Did I talk about that with his
a little bit,
plan?
But
okay.
Yeah,
well, let me just try to recap that real quick. Then Rush on that. Rush explained that the Colorado primary, and if nobody understands what the primary is, let me explain it, especially for our listeners from other countries that have their own quirky elections, like the Philippines with the vice presidential election. We have so much to learn. To explain what a primary is, over here in America, we have 2 main parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and they both have their own process for picking the candidate, and each state and U.S. territory has their own rules that they themselves set on how the delegates, not popular vote, but delegates, are apportioned to each candidate. Meaning some states, it works where there's an open primary where a Democrat or an independent can go vote as a Republican or a Democrat, or vice versa. Everyone can vote in everyone's state. You can just only vote once. There are other primaries where the person who gets just the biggest amount of votes gets all the delegates. Winner takes all. So Donald Trump wins, I think, Louisiana with 40-some, and he gets all the delegates from it, which is not, he did not get a majority of the delegates. He did not get a majority of the votes, yet he gets all the delegates. So there are some crazy rules in different states that benefit one candidate over another. Colorado, in August of last year, set up the rules saying we're not going to have an open primary, we're not going to have any primary, we're going to have a inter-party caucus with just the delegates. And as Russell Moore pointed out, this was actually to keep someone like Cruz out of the running. The establishment did not want Cruz to be their candidate. And then when Trump jumped in, Cruz became the lesser of two evils. So,
yeah, Cruz has a lot I disagree with. We've talked about this before. I lean libertarian, but I still think we have to have an education system. And so far, the only campaign promise that he's standing on out of his five pillars, which somebody should have told him the irony of picking five pillars, but anyway, was he wants to abolish the Department of Education. I'm like, yeah, that'll make us all smarter. Anyway, that's great about Cruz. Yes.
Well,
yeah,
after that,
some evil teachings, we don't have to learn nothing, so we'll all be much smarter.
So, what happened after the election? There was this huge outroar. There's a huge outcry and uproar. Excuse me. I speak English. Of the Trump supporters saying this election was stolen from us. They stole the election from us. And Rush Limbaugh tells a little anecdote right after that situation about how he said, I went to one of my Trump supporter friends and I said, hey, what is your guy doing? He didn't have anyone on the ground in Colorado, which is true. Trump didn't have anyone on the ground in Colorado. So Rush goes, he's telling the story. He says, he's talking to a Trump supporter friend of his. He says, What's wrong with your guy? Why didn't he work Colorado? Why didn't he have people on the ground there? He really dropped the ball on Colorado. Everyone knew these rules since August of last year. He could have
taken... Did he drop the ball or did he drop the bong on Colorado?
Oh, Colorado. I'm all for the edibles out there. Let's make a podcast trip to Colorado. Anyway, pass the brownies.
Yeah, I don't need the calories, and neither of us need the mind-altering effects, that's for sure.
I don't want to eat brownies that make me more hungry for brownies. That's
yeah.
All right. The Trump supporter friend of Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh decided to tell this story on the air. His Trump supporter friend tells him, oh, Trump knew he wasn't going to win Colorado, so he blew it off so that he could say it got stolen from him.
Maybe he really is a politician.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, Rush Limbaugh reported that according to, and I want to tell you, we know some Trump supporters. Rush Limbaugh knows Trump supporters, like the guys in the loop on Trump support. And somebody in the loop on Trump support said that Trump is playing a martyr. He is pretending to be a martyr about this Colorado thing because he knew he wasn't going to win in Colorado, and he purposely let it just slide. He didn't send... In the last week before the vote, he sent one political advisor. That's it. But this, according to Russia's friend, went according to plan. And once again, that was the Rush Limbaugh show right after it happened, I believe. Was it Monday of this week? Yeah, it should have been Monday of this week. That conversation.
It was Saturday. I can't remember. There was one where the event was Saturday, and they didn't start reporting on it until Monday.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Well, the Rush Limbaugh shows are just weekday shows, so I'm trying to. If anyone wants to look up these quotes, I want to give them a good ballpark of when they are. So Rush Limbaugh reported that. That inside the loop, Trump supporters say that it all went according to plan because Trump is planning on manipulating the lower intelligence Trump supporters into thinking he is some sort of underdog or martyr of the evil, conniving establishment Ted Cruz. Now, if you think Ted Cruz is the establishment, you're an idiot. Ted Cruz is hated by the establishment. So if you're going, well, Ted Cruz, he's the establishment, you're a moron. You are a moron. He is not the establishment.
Well, he's closer to establishment than Trump is, but yes.
That's not necessarily accurate. Trump is closer to the Democrat establishment. It just depends on what establishment you're talking about. What is that?
Hey, can I draw out my nightmare scenario for you?
Go ahead.
Okay, so Trump secures all the delegates necessary to be the candidate. Hillary secures all the candidates needed to be the candidate. Now, because Trump has alienated himself, he stands no chance of picking up the critical Mexican vote and the female vote. So he's botched himself, he's put himself in the corner, painted himself into a corner, can't get out. Then, it might have been his plan all along. So then, Hillary comes rolling in, but she gets charges filed against her, gets convicted, and is ineligible to run. And so we end up with President Trump because the Democratic candidates clapped in irons.
Let me tell you why that's not going to happen. And it's not because Hillary hasn't broken a whole bunch of laws, because she has. We've been over that a bazillion times. The reason why she's not going to get clasped in iron is because her getting convicted of these issues will likely happen behind closed doors with a jury or just a judge that will quickly pass a conviction on her. The sentence will be it will be a relatively appropriate sentence that will be immediately commuted by the Obama. Obama will immediately commute the sentence. So Hillary Clinton being indicted and charged and pardoned will be an afternoon. It'll be something that'll happen real quick. The politics of it will be very confusing. Only people like you and me will really be upset about it. And they'll try to brush it off real quick by going, oh, we just want to focus on the issues. That's why we got this out of the way. And it will do a great deal to handicap the Republicans if the Republicans are running on a convict Hillary platform. So that's why Hillary getting convicted and pardoned instantly would be the most devastating thing to Republicans. So, yeah, I believe there will be an indictment, but it will be an indictment followed by a conviction, followed by a pardoning in the same day.
So she'll plead guilty to third-class parking violations?
No, like I'm saying, it'll be appropriate crimes. She'll be convicted for probably 10 years in federal prison, and in the same sentence of being convicted for that, the representative for the administration will say she's pardoned. That's how it would go. And that's because Hillary Clinton is, you know, she has all the privilege. That's the privilege that being that rich gets you. Being that rich, that establishment, shall we say that white, that blonde hair, blue eyed, that's the privilege that all that gets her, is getting off easy. And at the moment, she's getting away with it completely, which is making some people rip their hair out in the FBI, because we're not supposed to live in that sort of country. We're supposed to live in a country that actually has laws. But we'll see. I think it's going to get more crazy banana republic dictatorship before it gets less. And there's a brilliant article that was... I'll try to find this one. It's the 10 steps that the Democrats are going to lose 2016. And one of the biggest things is they're only preparing for Trump, not Cruz or Kasich. Which Kasich could actually be the upset winner of the third ballot. And it's very unlikely. It would likely be Cruz, but apparently there's multiple ballots at the convention. So Democrats are not planning on anyone but Trump being the presidential candidate.
The conventions are absolutely stark raving mad. If I tried to explain this to somebody from outside the country, I think I'd just lie to him and claim that it's just people having sack races while a man plays piano. It's the only way I can make it sound less crazy.
Have you seen Futurama in the first season where they take Fry to a Blurns ball game? And he's like, oh, so this works just like baseball. And then they start firing balls out of the side of the thing going, multi-ball, multi-ball.
There's a line where he's like, oh, did they finally, spruced up or livened up baseball. And he's like, he doesn't need livening up. And then he thinks for a second. He goes, oh, good, they finally livened it up.
Exactly.
This is a side rant, not a political one, but years ago, WLW was ranting about how boring soccer was, how there's a game that was scoreless until they had a shootout at the end, how boring that was. And then the very next story was how there is a 12-inning, no-hit, no-run baseball game that ran 4.5 hours that ended when somebody finally hit a ball.
Yeah, well, that's the American pastime, though. Yeah. All right. I really want to nail home this awesome. We have had a great discussion about politics and Rush Limbaugh. Where do we get news sources too? This is one of those things. Can I just do a rundown of my favorite places to tap into the zeitgeist of American news?
I'll hit you with mine after you hit me with yours.
Okay, so we've got The Daily Show, Comedy Central. I watch it off of Hulu. Saturday Night Live, I watch that on Hulu. Just Kidding News, which I watch on YouTube. JK News, love JK News. I cannot talk about them enough. The internet, of course, where we get a lot of our news articles, Occupy Democrats, Huffington Post, podcasts, the Dan Bongino podcast. Look up Dan Bongino. He is the Renegade Republican. He is an independent Republican thinker. Brilliant takes on a lot of issues. Also, he is a former Secret Service agent, so his take on our security issues around D.C. are always brilliant and full of legitimate insight, a legitimate street-proven insight. Dan Bongino's podcast. Also, Chris Plant and Rush Limbaugh. Those are, and if I have the stomach for it, I will try to listen to some of Michael Savage, but you can see my opinions of his opinions on some of the earlier articles where I talk about Michael Savage having bizarrely anti-Israel stances occasionally, like for no reason, like as if he's gotten all his views of Israel from Al Jazeera conspiracy columns. He'll go on some crazy rant about Israel. So you can look up my opinions on him. But the reason why I have such a diverse selection of news is because I want to see the angles that are not being discussed elsewhere, which is almost always the case with news. The news will be reported from one angle. And that's the crime of omission, where they're not reporting to you the full story. And then if you ask for the full story, somebody just glares at you and says, "What are you for?" And then they mention some morally depraved thing that the person's being accused of or that the story is about.
You're telling me you're for launching nuns out of trebuchets? I got you. Uh-huh.
Yes. The biggest story that was going around was how clearly Missouri is being overrun by neo-Nazis because there was a swastika made out of poop on a wall. And I you're saying that right now, and if I were some of my friends who just listened to the hysterical news, I would glare at you and go, "Oh, so you think it's okay, huh? You think these kids are faking it? Is that what you're saying? You just want them not to have a safe space? There's people who are racist on that campus. Don't you know that, you bigot?" It was ridiculous.
And here's the thing. I guarantee you there are people who are racist on that campus. I mean, that's not the part I'm arguing about. It's always been the thing that frustrates me is people will build the straw man, the straw boogeyman, when there are really people who are doing bad things.
Right.
It's an argument from absurdity. The reduction ad absurdity.
The aggravation that I had. Oh, Cracked. How did I forget Cracked? Cracked.com. Love them. I will admit though that I mostly just watch their YouTube. I love Cracked. You'll hear me rant on them and reference them.
I mostly listen to their podcast.
Oh yeah. They've gotten to where they start posting their podcasts on the live version of their podcast, which they do, I think, once a month, from the UCB Theater. Anyway, yes, the poop swastika, as I stated, if I saw a Star of David in poop, I would not say, "Oh, does the Chabad Lubavitch meet here? Is this, I see the Star of David, this must be, is this Chabad?" No, I would say, "Oh, is that human feces? That is clearly an insult or something done by a crazy person who likes to touch their own poop," which is a special kind of crazy.
You'd shoot a picture and send it to me and Twitter instantly.
Right. Well, and this is one of those things, too. This is the real story that was not being discussed on any of the mainstream news. The real story was the hysterics, how people are hysterical on college campuses. We have a world we live in now. I was talking to our bro Olivier about this. We have a world now where you can hold a device in your hand that shows you the other side of the world. You have that in your hand. You have that in your hand just with the podcast.com now. You have a device you can hold in your hand, and it shows you the other side of the world. It shows you that there's a political candidate running for office over there that had death squads. Okay, we don't have anybody, none of our candidates running at the moment had death squads. Maybe Hillary. This is one of those things. You have the other side of the planet. You have people being lined up, and they say, all the Christians over here, all the Muslims can go, and then they shoot all the Christians in the back of the head. That happened in Nigeria. That happened recently in Nigeria. That's not like, oh, that was a long time ago. No, that was really recent. That was 9 months ago. Okay? This is really scary stuff that is going on all around the world, and what we have in America are people going, oh, no, somebody made a graffiti in the poop. I'm scared. And the hysterics around that just get crazier and crazier and crazier to the point where there was a student and professor-led shutting off of part of the campus where they would harass students who were trying to cover it for the student newspaper. The student newspaper or news outlet, those students are being harassed. And there's a video where this Asian kid is being surrounded and pushed by the guys who are, they're the tolerant ones. Well, it is this tolerant crowd are harassing this young guy who's just trying to cover a news story for the college news outlet. And when one of the little reporter guys jumps through, a professor goes, can I get some muscle over here to get rid of this reporter? Like, the insanity.
She lost her job over that, and I think rightfully so.
Oh, good. I hope she's on food stamps. I hope she is not getting another job. Like, she's one of the ringleaders of the hysteria. That there's a poop swastika somewhere on campus. Me and my wife were joking about it. Like, this is the craziest thing. I half expected a neo-Nazi in the area to come out and do a press conference going, listen. Yes, we hate beep and beep and beep, but we have spray paint, okay?
Interestingly, Ayan Hirsi Ali was going to speak at a college campus about how terrible it is to be female in a Muslim-controlled country. And the campus feminist group shouted her out, blocked her speech. And I'm like, okay, you've gone around. You've gone so far left. You've circled back around to a fascist society where if you say anything bad about one group, you have to be. And it wasn't like she's a American professor who's just saying all of these things out of his pocket. It's a woman who lived in that culture who had female genital mutilation done to her, or has seen it done in other countries, and so it's she's recounting her thing, and she's blocked by the feminist group on campus. It's like, okay, you have gone completely around the horn, where you go so far left, you circle back where you're on the fascist side. It made my jaw drop. The news sources I go to, because I am crazy busy and I'm rarely on the land, I'm almost always driving. I get a lot of my news from podcasts. So The Cracked Podcast is one I listen to almost religiously. I'll have a couple weeks go by and I have to get caught up on that one. But that's a fun one because of the way they look at, they like to deconstruct a subject. Like this past week's one was how priming, it's not the term they use, but I've had enough psychology classes that I kept translating what they're saying into priming. If you look at the psychological process of priming, you can make people do things. It's subtle. It's not like total hypnotism, but it totally works. A good example, there's a thing where they had people applying to be some kind of ministry position, and they had them, while they're in the waiting room, they gave them enough time, and the only thing they could read was the story of the Good Samaritan. And then they had them go across the campus to go to the next part of the job interview. And then they had somebody who had fallen and hurt themselves. And the people who had read the Good Samaritan or the other one who had read it, the other control was, I think, something about time management or whatever. The people who had been primed by reading the Good Samaritan story stopped and helped. The other people would see the thing and kind of squirt wide around so they can get on to their next part of their appointment. And so that's the psychological thing about priming. Cracked had a brilliant article or podcast about that just recently, so this past week. The other podcast I listened to for the technology stuff, This Week in Tech has a lot of like general info. I kind of skip through that one. I catch the a little bit because a lot of that's super general stuff, and what I need in my world is super specific stuff. This Week in Google has a lot of the cloud-based tech stuff. There's a security podcast called This Week in Security, but once again, he is far too general for my stuff, but that's a good starting off point. If people are interested in the computer rants I go off onto, that would be a good starting point. I know enough that when I disagree with the show, it frustrates the heck out of me. And so that's how you know you're an expert in something, when you're hearing somebody else who's supposed to be an expert and it's making your skin crawl and you're like, I can't listen to this.
That's like whenever I'm listening to a radio thing and they say something like, well, Iran is supporting ISIS, and I just, my head explodes. Iran is ISIS is Sunni. Sorry, go ahead.
The science podcasts I listen to, there's The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. It's a really solid science podcast. Astronomy Cast is up to like 420 episodes. It's brilliant. And both of the hosts have fantastically soothing voices. So that's one of the podcasts I use when I'm going to sleep at night. Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, is another one. Get my science on there. That was not good for going to sleep because their bumps are Beastie Boys songs.
Is Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, does he sit down with all the newest, hottest astral bodies? Is he like, hello, I can't name a star offhand, and is it like sitting there in the studio with them, and they're just chatting? Yeah. Is that how that works?
Yeah, he sits down with Beetlejuice and the Seven Sisters, and it's a hilarious show because he always has a comedian there that's the voice of the common man or woman, but their job is to stop him anytime he's going off on that rant going, and see, that's why degenerate matter, once it starts collapsing into the black hole, and they're like, hold it, wait, you said degenerate matter, and just kept rolling.
Yeah.
So it's a fun one, and I've had a couple of astronomy classes, but I learned a lot on that one. Or if I know the stuff, the comedians make me laugh, so that's a fun one. I just can't use it to be my podcast I listen to as I sleep, because they got some jamming bumps on that show.
Right.
So that's my my science and tech podcast. Oh, and This Week in Computer Hardware. Did I mention that one? That one's fantastic. And
PC Perspective Podcast.
Yeah, that one is not for the faint of heart. Yeah.
I know. I just want to take a pause and just take a deep breath real quick. Nerd!
Yeah. Okay. Here, we're going to have a conversation about that in a minute. But Raw Story is a and the titles are brilliant from that. You can tell Raw Story is like the anti-Fox News. If you put the two of them in the room, they collide together and form ABC News. it is definitely liberal, and the titles give away the fact how liberal it is. The titles, some of the things are just as bad as like the, well, not just as bad, but just as leading as like the Sun. The titles are in England.
Yeah. Well, I would like to say though.
What's that?
Sorry, go ahead. Well, okay. My thing is, let's say I need an excuse, and I need to say the reason why I couldn't make it to this one big business event was because I wrecked my motorcycle, right? Well, I would tell them that I can't make it to this business event because I wrecked my motorcycle, and then I would have you say. Yeah, but you sure looked cool while you were driving that motorcycle. You would say a positive story. You know, you would say the positive thing. Like, yeah, but motorcycles are still really cool. And then my wife would go, oh, I always knew that motorcycle was dangerous. I never wanted him to have that motorcycle. Now, the excuse is the important part. And the excuse was, I had a motorcycle and I wrecked it, and that's why I couldn't go to the thing. Now, your Fox News, and she is Vox, V-O-X, the fake liberal news, or MSNBC, where it'd be going, oh, I'm saying the opposite side of the story. Well, the true opposite side of the story would be, hey, you've never owned a motorcycle in your life. That would be the true opposite side of the story, but when you have, why I'm bringing this up is my aggravation with fake stories with the State Department. The State Department will put out a fake story sometimes because, they need to. They need to because, our new ally is, really bad on human rights. So we need to say that, we need to help this dictator cover their tracks, basically. And we've done that so many times in such recent history, it's not even funny. The Benghazi thing is just a symptom of that, where the State Department said, everything happened because of a video. And so you had Fox News going, that's stupid, the video is not offensive, I watched it, it's not offensive. And you had CNN going, that video was really offensive, we need to be more sensitive. Well, the video was the motorcycle and my excuse. It didn't really affect the situation. 300 people had seen the video before all those terrorist attacks happened, and none of the IP addresses being pinged were in Libya. So it was a complete lie. It had nothing to do with reality. So point is, I don't like looking at news from just the right or left side. I when you said that about taking the who's the opposite of Fox you mentioned?
It's Raw Story.
Raw Story, yes. The thought of someone being just the opposite of the news. That's why I don't like looking at things as just the opposite of this news outlet. That's why I like to really parse it up. Internationally, Times of Israel, Times of India.
Yeah, Times of India has always been my go-to because they're so dispassionate about American news, and they'll have amazing insights that I had no idea about because, like, everything gets buried by all the shouty heads in America because we're like, oh, this is from the right or this is from the left.
Right.
It's not a place to have good conversation, but Reddit slash r libertarian is where I get some of my the news stuff that irks me, because the libertarian mindset, if you've never been a libertarian, is you're like, hey, it would be really great if this thing was adhered to in our Constitution. And then you see both sides that are in power working as hard as they can to trample it for different reasons. and so you get a feel of that. But it is definitely a zeitgeist place. If you go in and say, well, guys, I agree, but I honestly think that the Department of Education has some merits, prepare to be downvoted to oblivion.
Yeah, I kind of hated when I tried to go on a politically independent forum. I've had two bad experiences. The first situation wasn't that bad. It was just getting roundly kicked on by members who were there for longer, going, your knee-jerk reaction, which my knee-jerk reaction, you know what they were calling the knee-jerk reaction? Do you know what article I posted from the podcast? Schrodinger's gun. That Schrodinger's gun from Zone article. Yeah, and they're like, your knee-jerk reaction isn't welcome here. And I'm like, knee-jerk reaction? What are you talking about? Well, people who just look at it from the left-wing or right-wing perspective. I'm like, yeah, that's why I am actually discussing the issues and not looking at it from either of those. If you read the article, you'll understand. And then that got likes from the people then after I called the guys out, and then the one guy was going, oh, I've never seen such a tortured interpretation of Schrodinger's cat. And then another guy does a pun off of that using the Schrodinger's cat analogy. And I was like, can you guys taste the hypocrisy?
And the problem is the Schrodinger's thing. I mean, I know what you're going for in the article. But the problem is if you've taken a lot of physics, there's a very Schrodinger's cat is a reduction to absurdity to explain the concept. So
and so
you're using it in the popular understanding of it. It's one of those things where people who are physicists or have had too much college are like, as soon as they see it, they just kind of like close their brain off, like, oh, clearly somebody's getting this nuanced thing wrong again. So, I totally understand where you're going with it. And it was, I immediately understood where you're going with it in that article. It was fine. I'm just saying I can see where somebody who's a physicist or just a douchebag would have problem with.
None of those guys, I believe, were physicists. None of them appeared to be in any way more intelligent on the subject of Schrodinger and his analogy on the observation of quantum mechanics, which is what that's about. Am I not correct?
Sort of. It was lampooning the concept of superposition.
My point is, neither of those guys, and they proved it, they proved that they had no greater understanding by making a similar analogy while mocking me.
Yeah. If you write a similar article in the future, just to mess with other people, just use the Monty Hall paradox title wrong in there, just to really tweak them.
But my point is, I didn't use it wrong. I know that it's about the observation of quantum mechanics and that. But my point is the actual
state of a quanta. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's not really about a cat in a box.
You either have a gun or you don't have a gun.
Yes. Well, and the issue is, too, as most quantum physicists have pointed out, you can change the outcome by observing it. What we're doing when we're just putting up when we're just putting up signs saying, this is bad, guns are bad, we are openly stating that we don't want something, but we're doing absolutely no effort to observe whether or not there is a gun there. So we have the opportunity to change the outcome, but we don't. As a follow up, I would like to point out that I was in the Philippines, where they have plenty of gun free zones in the Philippines. Do you know where the sign that says, "Hey, don't have a gun when you're coming into this building"? Do you know where that sign is posted?
Probably after the metal detector, right?
No. The sign is posted on the metal detector that there is an armed person on the other side of the metal detector and an armed person in front of you leading you through the metal detector, and then they'll pat you down to make sure you don't have anything on you, like obvious stuff, like a gun poking out of your clothes. It's common sense stuff, people. It's not hard to understand. In other countries, they just go, oh, guns aren't allowed to be in this area? Well, we better make sure there's no guns in this area. It's only in America where that's oh gosh. I shouldn't say only in America. It's also all over Europe. All over Europe, that's a huge thing there too. Man, we said that they shouldn't have the guns here, so we don't know why the guns they're shooting at. That's very strange. You didn't do anything, not one thing, to check and see if there were guns. You didn't. Nothing. That's why there were guns, and you got shot by the gun. Because you're doing nothing to defend yourself. The Charlie Hebdo massacre, the cops going to the scene were unarmed. They didn't even... The cops had guns. Guns are bad. Guns are bad. Just, you know, this is a gun-free zone. Guns are bad. Guns aren't bad. They're technology. Technology is not inherently good or evil.
All right. I got to wrap it up. I'm at my destination. But I'll let you have that last word today. We'll post a whole big listing of all of our favorite news sources on this podcast.
Quick one-off. What is your break from news break? Where do you go when you want to cool your brain off?
My go-to, I'll play video games whenever I'm cooling down my brain, and right now I've been playing Fallout 4.
All right.
If I'm just browsing around the internet, I'll fire up Sudoku or a crossword puzzle on my computer.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll go to Cracked, but that's also a good place for you to get angry.
Yeah, occasionally. For me, it's Game Grump. Game Grump.
Game Grump.
On YouTube.
My current YouTube addiction is woodworking channels. That's just super relaxing to watch people turn wood into things.
Awesome.
I can't remember a lot of their names offhand, but there's Mere Mortals and a couple of others. So I'll link my three favorites in the show notes.
Yes. All right. And I'll also watch JK Party, which is the Just Kidding News people doing just silly, stupid things. Not discussing news, but instead playing board games. Or doing some challenge, like trying to put a pair of pants on without using their hands and stuff like that. So, JK Party and Game Grumps. That is my addiction there. Shout out to Jokos and Abadan. All right.
Very cool. I will see you later.
Vaya con Dios, hermano.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye-bye. Keep